program contains the ramblings of those driven mad by their own geekitude. Listener discretion is advised.
Loading Geek 1. Loading Geek 2. Synchronizing Geeks.
Welcome to 3x2, version 2.0. The show that still takes three topics and throws it to geeks. I'm Laz D, the pseudo Kiwi, coming to you from 3x2 Studios, Virginia.
And I'm the illustrious Patrick M, coming to you from 3x2 Studios, Ohio, where thankfully my connection, because I'm the one recording this, isn't glitching like yours. But oh well, I don't care, because it's going to be a good day, despite the fact that we've been down for over a week with colds and such.
Yes, we're back, sort of. Yes.
More or less, mostly less.
Mostly less.
So yeah, if you hear a lot of silence from me, it's because I'm having to mute so I can go...
<What's> that?
That was a mistake to do that. Okay. Hey. Oh well, let's get to the news. Okay, in the news this week, we've got a few things. First of all, from our last few weeks, 3 weeks ago. Wow, it's been that long. Yeah, it has. 3 weeks ago, we were talking about Tabletop Season 3 and their funding efforts. We can report now. We get the RPG spinoff. Woo!
Whoop-dee-doo, Basil! No. Actually, that's really cool. It's like super awesome cool.
Yeah, it's like beyond cooler than cool. So we're going to get that. We'll get more. And when it comes up, we'll have to talk about it a little bit because we're going to be geeking out.
Yeah, actually, you know, I haven't watched too much of Tabletop. I've watched enough of it to be familiar with it. But now I have to watch it just because we're getting RPG show.
Yep.
RPG show.
And in the latest to depart from this world, Two of the actors this week, Bob Hoskins. Yeah, from probably most famous role in the geekish world would be Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where he starred across from an animated character, and it was the coolest movie because it got Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny in the same frame. Awesome. And Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., yeah, I'm sorry, I couldn't remember if it was Junior or Senior. Yeah, Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., most famous for voicing Alfred on Batman the Animated Series.
For a second, I thought you were going to say Batman the Anal-Mated Series, but never mind.
Yeah, he died at the age of 95, so he had a good run. Awesome. That's all we can say. And the third, and probably the saddest thing in our world, Horny Cat.
Yes, we lost Horny Cat this week. Thankfully, she's not dead. She's just horny somewhere else. Yeah. She has moved on to, let's say, greener pastures and better opportunities. So long, Horny Cat. We'll miss you.
The wife had Horny Cat booted, didn't she?
Pretty much, yeah. You know, it's the whole thing of, bitch, I'm in charge because I'm the mother here. And the cat's like, no, fuck you. I'm the mother here. No. So the wife is like,
I'm Horny Cat.
That's right. And of course, the wife is like, you may be Horny Cat, but I have opposable thumbs, and out you go.
See? Thumb pointing out. Out, bitch, out.
Pretty much.
And that's the news.
All right, so we're going to start off this episode with our first topic, which is reboot.
That's our only topic. We're rebooting. We're going to work on trying the idea of rebooting or restarting three movie franchises that we think would be awesome to see back in theaters in some way, shape, or form. not just a rehash of the same old plot like the Amazing They Rebooted Already Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
And for those of you who have not gone to see the Amazing Spider-Man 2, if you're familiar with the comics, Gwen Stacy dies. There, I fucked it up for you. Ha!
Yeah.
There. I just gave you the big spoiler without telling you. Because Christ on a crutch. I mean, sure, Spider-Man 3 was crap. But do they have to rehash and start over from scratch again, Sony? And you couldn't talk to Marvel and say, hey, let's split some revenue and let Spider-Man show up in the Avengers 2, where it'll actually be interesting.
Yeah.
Even if they changed the actor, it'd still be awesomely awesome.
That's the hilarious part. Yeah, that's part of the hilarious part is the fact that they have all these Marvel superheroes in the same city, and it just so happens that when one group of heroes is helping out, another group of heroes is on vacation.
Yeah. Because, yeah, like Spidey takes vacations.
Right. So, anyways, yeah, so we are talking about reboot movies this week. We've picked four movies that we think could be rebooted.
But third one's going to be, you'll understand why we lump them together when we get there. Well, we're going to take the first and best one and the one that been waiting for a sequel for the length of the life of the one and only, and I forgot his name already. That's sad, isn't it? Crap. I have completely forgotten, but we got two movies. We got a good video game. We had some crappy video games. And then Harold Ramis died. Yes, it's time to talk about Ghostbusters.
Yes. Now, this is a little bit of reboot, a little bit of continuation. We say reboot because we pick up the franchise in the 21st century, but we also include some, you know, of the actors from the original franchise. Just as cameo, mostly cameo roles.
Yeah. And if we're those... So, to give you an idea, this is what we came up with. It's going to be the 21st century. We're going to leave New York City because, obviously, the boys are in New York City and they're running that. But if you remember the movie, the line from the movie, the franchise alone, rights alone, make us rich beyond our wildest dreams. And I probably flubbed that line, but who cares? Because
actually, you did. You flubbed the line, but you got every word right.
Okay. Yeah, because unfortunately, I'm not Cousin Bill. Yes, I call Bill Murray Cousin Bill, even though we're not related, because it's Bill Murray. So
that's
screw
right.
You hippies.
And technically, I guess that would mean so is your son.
Yeah. I wish. Oh, well. Yeah. Long story. But here's the deal. Things that are going to be in this movie, obviously, it's going to be another one. There's going to be some big spook. It's going to be set in the Midwest. We're going to put in Chicago. We're going to put in Detroit. We put in Detroit. The Ghostbusters are going to be facing bankruptcy, obviously.
The thing is, I would be saying if it's in Detroit, they'd be carrying more than proton packs. They'd be packing something.
Well, yeah, either city's going to be a nightmare for that. But things that we're going to have in. Obviously, Ernie Hudson's going to show up because he's going to be running the Ghostbusters because can you imagine Pete Venkman hanging around for that long? Nah.
No.
Can you imagine Ray ending up in a nut house by now?
Yes.
Yeah. And is Harold Ramis dead, so Egon is dead?
Yes, yeah. But he'd have to come back as a ghost.
Possibly. That's kind of a sensitive subject. That's a ghost that you'd have to be careful to bring him back. On the other hand, Slimer, yeah, Slimer shows up.
Of course.
For some reason. I don't know why. Oh, because it's Slimer.
That's right. You can't have Ghostbusters without Slimer. But the important thing is that we start off with a new, I guess, a more fresh-faced crew.
Yeah, we have a new crew of Ghostbusters.
Right. So, of course, because we're not using the originals, in their original capacity, then we come up with a new crew. So, and we talked about this during pre-production. And why don't you go ahead and share with our listeners the kind of ideas that we came up with?
Okay, here's our cast for Ghostbusters. We have five of them total. First of all, James Franco is showing up. He's kind of the smarmy, horny dick. I mean, he's the reason that Bill Murray can't show up in this movie, because he's going to be that much of a dick. Seth Rogen shows up alongside. He's kind of the bumbly mechanic type, and, well, he'll probably do something stupid. We get Justin Long in. Justin, cool cat, does the work kind of thing. And then, from bringing some of the ladies into it, for our scientist, we have the one and only...
Mayim Bialik.
Yeah, and she will be awesome and cool and can out-geek Egon. Because we've seen what she can do in Big Bang, so that's obviously cool.
Oh, yes.
And then, so we have somebody as a new girl coming in. For some reason, she came in with the idea that she was going to be a Ghostbuster, and they wanted her to be secretary, but she wants to be Ghostbuster, so eventually she'll become a Ghostbuster, the one and only, the awesomely awesome.
Zoe Saldana.
Because, oh yeah.
Oh awesome. Yes. Oh yes.
Because she can be a tough ass, and yeah. Basically, beyond that, the plot's going to pretty much play out like more or less the original Ghostbusters did, to the extent they're going to be establishing themselves and all that stuff. We'll assume that we'll have to reintroduce a lot of the science, a lot of the technology, because I'm assuming anybody in their 20s isn't 100% sure about the Ghostbusters, or they saw this old movie. Even if they didn't see it, come on, kids. We're talking the classics here. You should be watching this movie and rolling around in it and loving it and touching it and rubbing it and calling it George.
Yeah. No. And that's another reference to Looney Tunes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I'm obviously loony.
The thing is, we're not trying to disparage the original. The originals stand on their own as classic, sort of as classic 80s movies. They were fantastic, and we'll never forget them. But it's a franchise that could stand to have some new life injected to it, because there's been so many speculations and rumors over the last 20 years that Ghostbusters 3 was going to be made. Well, because Bill Murray dragged his feet so much, and now that Harold Ramis is dead, that's it. You know, no more original Ghostbusters movie.
Otherwise, yeah, it's like trying to do a sequel to the Blues Brothers. Oh, they did that, didn't they?
Yeah, that didn't work out so well either.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, but yeah, it's okay.
Right. So there we have it. We can start over. We can continue on the franchise, but at the same time, you're still doing a little bit of the origin story of the Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Another thing, the main musical theme, Ray Parker Jr., the Ghostbusters theme, that does not play till the end of the movie. You can have somebody do a cover of it in some other style to open the movie or do other things. Bring other music from the original movie in at times, but we don't get the payoff till the end.
That's right. You drop little nuggets along the way, but other than that, you wait until the last part of the movie, and then you get it full on.
And I hate to bring up the Abrams track, but J.J. did it right there. He did not play the original Star Trek theme until he had worked the entire movie to have earned the right to play it, sort of. Unless you're a hardcore Trekkie, and then you hate his guts and you want him to die of ass cancer twice.
I do. I actually do want to. But having caught
after he finishes the next three Star Wars movies, that is, he gets that. Let him okay, at least till Ep 7. If he completely screws Ep 7, then yeah, ass cancer beyond recognition. Bring in Joss and finish the shit.
Yes, absolutely. Moving on to our next reboot movie.
Next reboot movie!
Back to the Future.
Yeah, we're going back there because we missed this. It was a great trilogy. And like Ghostbusters before it, the only problem it had is suffered from some of the effects of being pre-digital movies.
Yeah, most of the effects were practical, or if not, they were bad.
Yeah, you had either practical effects or you had bad blue screen effects and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, and this is not so much of a reboot itself. It is a revitalization / continuation of the franchise. You know, obviously we had things like, you know, we have to have the McFly character because that's quintessential to the Back to the Future stories. However, we're thinking more of, instead of going with just Marty McFly or Marty McFly Jr. or Marty McFly Jr. Jr.
Because let's be honest, you're not really getting Christopher Lloyd or Michael J. Fox in to continue the movie is going to be a problem and a real problem.
Right.
Nobody will really want. That's really going to make it rough. So here's our idea. We set it in the future. we go with the granddaughter of Marty McFly.
Right.
That's awesome. And playing Doc to Miss Marty, it would be Jules and Vern, introduced at the very end of the third movie.
That's right.
So obviously we got now, some really interesting things going there.
Yeah, the whole thing is that what we want to do is we want to play it off. You know, obviously we want to carry on the whole idea of time travel as an adventure. Now the thing with that is what we want to do is also we want to play off the dichotomy of the brothers against the McFly character, because ultimately what we've seen over the first three movies is that Doc Brown is ultimately Marty's savior, guardian, whatever. I mean, he comes back from the future to warn Marty and Jennifer that something was wrong with their kids. And it's like, so they have to go on this adventure. So, again, we run into a situation where you have the Brown characters looking after the McFly character.
So that's going to happen again. But it's going to be another generation, and there's going to be all kinds of things. Now, we compiled a list of actresses to step in for little Marty, Marty's granddaughter, which would be awesome. Obviously, first that jumped in my mind was Ellen Page. Damn you, Ellen Page, for coming out.
I know. I mean, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay that you came out. It's just more the fact that now he can't fantasize about you.
Yeah. Well, I can, but it's girl and girl. Let's not go there. We're gonna get a little.
Yes, absolutely. So let's actually look at it more like, you know, more from the perspective of Ellen Page still looks young enough to play, I guess, a teenager.
Teenager, so you still have 20s, that youth. Yeah,
you still have that youth factor to it. And of course, you got the Jules and Vern's character could be older if they need to, or they could be around her age. You know, and again, it would appeal to a much younger generation, and you know, whatever. You know, again, so we're looking at it appealing to a younger demographic.
So that's why our second option was Jennifer Lawrence, because, well, let's be honest, she's awesome in pretty much everything.
Yeah, yeah. The only thing is that one thing I thought about this, and the only thing I would say that would be, I guess, against her is that she's very much a lead character. And with Back to the Future, yes, Marty was the lead character, but you couldn't have Marty doing the things he did without the guidance and the wisdom of Doc Brown.
Yeah, and again, that's where our casting for Jules and Vern will come in. I did have a third option, which I thought was cool because I've heard her with her American accent at least once, and damn, all those years waiting for her to turn 18 so I could ogle. The one and only Emma Watson.
That would be interesting.
Preparing to initiate swing. Swing.
Swing.
Okay, that's done. Now, Jules and Vern, obviously, one of these guys is going to have a relationship with Marty's granddaughter by the end. So that will be awesome. Let's see. Who did I have? Oh, I just thought that we're going to start it with Doc. We'll obviously try, if we can get him, Christopher Lloyd can return for the beginning of the movie and die.
Yeah, that's right. The whole idea is that you want to hand it off. It's got to be a handing off of the mantle to a new generation. So you have Doc Brown and perhaps even his wife, Clara. You know, maybe Clara had already passed away. Doc Brown finally passes away and hands off the baton, if you like, the relay baton to Jules and Vern, and tell with the you know, sort of making sure that they understand that it is part of their destiny to protect the McFly. It is their job to protect the McFly line.
So we started coming out and with a list of guys who aren't quite absolutely super studs, but not fugly. And we came up with a couple names to play Jules and Vern and to bounce off our Miss Marty. And those two names are
Christopher Mintz-Plasse and Michael Cera.
So yeah, we're going to throw those two along with Ellen / Jennifer / Emma, whoever.
Whoever.
One of those there's going to be a romantic relationship between one, probably love triangle, all that, and make that cool. But in the end, it's going to come with them. We're going to see more of how they figure out time travel. We'll probably be able to expand on that. How they're figuring out how to work around time and keep things from getting all paradoxical and shit like they did in, like what happened in the first movie. Naturally, of course, hilarity will ensue when something gets messed up and they have to go fix times. Now, one rule we do want to avoid is avoiding the year 2015.
Yes.
Because, unfortunately, 2015 doesn't look anywhere like it does in the movie. So, unless we want to do some massive retcon and shit, we stay away from that. So, the movie starts in 2045.
Right. Another 30 years into the future, because that obviously gives us that opportunity to play on the not-too-distant future motif like the originals did.
Now, that means we can keep a lot of the things from 2015 and make them a little cooler for 2045. So we avoid that time. Naturally, they're going to end up in 1985, and they're going to be dodging. They're going to be watching while Marty's trying to do something while Marty's doing something else. And it'll be Marty on Marty on Marty, girl on Marty on Marty on Marty on Marty. And at some point, it's going to be like, is that our great grandmother trying to score with our grandfather? Oh, why?
Yeah.
Ew. But hilarity will ensue. They'll save the day, and probably there'll be more time travel. So that's cool. I like that.
Yes, definitely. That would be a.
And at the end, guess what shows up finally? Rebuilt, shiny, and new in its stainless steel beauty.
The DeLorean.
A brand new, cooler looking DeLorean. Not too much different. Still have Mr. Fusion, still have the things, but it'll be a little more streamlined, a little more awesome. And then the music will swell as they say, "We don't need roads."
That's right.
Dum da da dum 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 ass. Dum dum da da dum 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 ass. Okay, that was a little too much energy for me. I can feel it. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think you're a little uncomfortably energetic right now.
You like that idea, don't you?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Oh yeah.
So we've covered. Of course,
I just thought of something. Where's Biff going to show up? Or some incarnation?
You know that Biff has to show up in some way, shape, or form. Somewhere.
Is Tom Wilson still alive?
Yes, Tom Wilson is still very much alive and
good.
His ass is
coming back for the movie. He's going to be older, but what the hell?
That's right. In fact, actually, he'll be able to play probably maybe, who knows, Biff's dad. You know, because he'll look like Biff's dad. He'll be aged enough.
Yeah. More hilarity ensues either way. That's awesome. So, I think that's enough with that movie, because we need that awesome. So let's go to our third movie. We have a face-off. Two movies that very similar enough in structure that at least one of these needs to be remade. And those are either Dirty Harry, the Clint Eastwood franchise, or the Charles Bronson franchise Death Wish.
So I would be leaning towards the Dirty Harry reboot because, you know, for me, I always enjoyed the Dirty Harry movies more than the Charles Bronson Death Wish movies. Both could be a really good reboot because both of them are really interesting stories. But again, you know, there's just something about Dirty Harry Callahan and his boomstick, if you like, that just screams good taste.
Yeah. Now, of course, this would be more or less a rote remake of the first Dirty Harry movie, although you could change some circumstances, characters, and obviously you're going to set it in the modern day instead of the days he was in.
Right.
So it'll be a retelling of essentially the same story of some sick perv murdering bastard that Dirty Harry's got to catch. He breaks a lot of rules, and the guy gets to skirt around, and eventually Dirty Harry gets to kill him deader than hell.
Right. The what's most important is, one, obviously keeping it in the same city, so you got to keep it in San Francisco. And the other thing is that you got to have that actor who really embodies the personality of Harry Callahan.
Basically, we take the character and we run sandpaper over his face a little bit to make him a little more leathery and nasty looking. But we got two names that we came up with, and these are going to work for either movie. So we'll revisit the names, but Aaron Eckhart or Josh Hartnett. Those names we threw out there.
Actually, yeah, both Both of those could be fine. I mean, either one of those could be perfectly fine. I would probably, I guess, lean more towards Aaron Eckhart because, I mean, he played Harvey Dent in The Dark Knight, and he did a really, really good job.
The weakness of the Dirty Harry, in my opinion, though, is that you're stuck in San Francisco, and you're going to pretty much retell the exact same story. So you're stuck with that. You know what you're going to get in Dirty Harry. Death Wish, on the other hand, you could play with a little more. It doesn't necessarily need to be set anywhere because it's basically a vigilante story.
Yeah, the it is. I mean, again, you're talking about a story where a common, you know, just a common, you know, non-law enforcement person, non-military, just a average Joe who's an architect, basically deals with gang violence that's been visited upon his family. So at the end of it, you know, you could play this revenge story pretty much any way you want. So yeah, I would definitely say there's more flexibility, but still you have to have that old salty dog to come in and play that role. And I know we talked about some potential leads, but also I think you also mentioned the idea that perhaps you could also play it from a female perspective.
Yeah. In addition to throwing Aaron Eckhart or Josh Hartnett back in to take over the Charles Bronson slot, I had the idea of changing it up and making it female. Characters were essentially the same career, same trajectory, except it's a female. Obviously bad shit happens. Family gets killed. She gets raped, things like that. I mean, horrible, bad, terrible shit. But then she takes then she goes on a killing spree and kills the shit out of the bad guys. And it's awesome. Now, female lead, we kind of looked at a few of these, and I don't know. Most of these are a little cuter, better looking than we would probably go. But we want somebody acting who can look awesome at times, but then look beaten up and rough at the other times.
Right.
For some reason, Halle Berry jumped on the list.
Well, the thing is, Halle Berry can still look really elegant and really beautiful when she, you know, gets herself dolled up. But you let her, you know, with the wonders of modern makeup, you could make her look at like somebody shaved a dog's ass and taught it to walk backwards.
You mean like in the Catwoman movie?
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. Okay. Scarlett Johansson's on my list because I could look at her in every movie. And we know she has the chops to look tough and mean and kick somebody's ass.
Yeah, she does.
You threw a couple in here. Jessica Biel.
Oh, yeah, Jessica Biel. Most people might recognize her from, say, the third Blade movie. Played Abraham Whistler's daughter.
So we know she has the chops to go in all vengeance.
Yep.
And Mila Kunis.
Because Mila Kunis, but seriously. No. You know, but the thing is, I'm seriously, if you did that, her character would have to be Meg. You know, I'm sorry, that just begs for it.
Oh, that's good. Of course, then again, if we really want leather, we go with Lindsay Lohan. I think that's leatherier than Charles Bronson and Clint Eastwood combined. Then again, she could also play Dirty Harry. Actually, her name would be Harriet, but we just call her Dirty Harry because, I didn't want that visual, did I? Oh, eyes, burning, eyes,
And that's all the time we have for this episode. This has been 3x2 version 2.0. I'm Laz D, the pseudo Kiwi.
And I'm the illustrious Patrick M.
Be sure to check us out on our Twitter feed at 3x2 Studios. On our website at 3x2cast.com. And yeah, we still bump around with the Facebook page because, hey, why not?
We try to avoid it because it's like a relationship with Lindsay Lohan, Nuff said. And now, finally finishing this podcast out, we are going to give you a tribute to the now departed Horny Cat.
Yeah, no.
Oh no, is Horny Cat horny?
Yes, Horny Cat is very horny.
Horny Cat is horny!
Horny Cat! Horny Cat! Horny cat is horny too. Horny cat, mama bitch gave the boot to you. It was neat when you were in heat. Guess you'll have to get it on somewhere else with another horny cat.
Horny cat is horny.
This podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License.